We're starting a new sermon series, and this is the first of those, and we'll go all the way through New Year's. And each week, we'll be giving you an assignment. And so if you happen to miss one, you can always catch them online so you can know what the assignment is. But it's not rushing the Christmas season. We have 2 weeks that'll be part of Thanksgiving, and then the rest will be a part of our Christmas preparation and then New Year's. And so we're trying to kind of talk about a season that kind of encompasses all of these times. And particularly at this time of the year, you know, and I know, we all know, that the pressure seems to mount in all that we're doing. And there seems to be a lot of kind of intensity that kind of surrounds these seasons. And so instead of it being enjoyable for many times, we go, that's over. And that's not at all the way it's meant to be. And so what we would like to do as we work through this thing is give you an assignment each week of what you should focus on and try to be a part of that week. So there is a card like this in your bulletin. At the close of the message, I'm going to ask you to have it in your hand again, so you might want to make sure it's readily available. But this is, this assignment this time is to be loving. And on the back of it are a bunch of lines where you can tell us how you did that assignment. Now, you don't have to sign it if you're not comfortable giving your name. That's fine. But what I'd like you to do is make sure you can return it out in the foyer. There on the on one of the back walls, you'll see this giant banner that says, "'Tis the Season." And on that banner, we're just gonna have you stick them up there. And so we'll select a couple of them and maybe share a couple of them each week that we can be able to see how God is working through your life to accomplish those goals. And so each week, this because these are desperate times, we're gonna do our very best to be able to make a difference. Now just think, we have between 1,500 and 1,600 that are usually here each week, about 2,500 people who call this their church home, and so they come periodically. But just think about the impact that this large number of people could have on our community if they gave forth a specific effort to do so. The fact is that I know I hardly go anywhere that I am not recognized by someone, whether it's out to eat or whether it's in a store or on an operating table or whatever. It just seems like there's somebody that I end up knowing and they'll acknowledge, well, hey, pastor, it's good to see you. I may not even know them myself, but they've been a part of Christ Wesleyan and they've been a part of here. Now think, if all of those people intentionally tried to make a difference in our world, the impact we could have at one point in one place. And so this week we'll be talking about that particular aspect of 'Tis the Season. First, I want to just thank all of you for your prayers and your support for our pastoral team. As most of you are aware, we were in San Jose this past week, had an incredible experience. We wouldn't have been able to do that if there hadn't been a donor who'd provided for that, but it was a great opportunity for us as a pastoral team to connect. If you don't know by now, we not only really enjoy serving ministry together, but we actually like each other. And so we had fun being together. But even more than that, the whole conference, which kind of lit up in my thoughts as I saw it back in May, was really the whole idea of looking at the culture, what the culture is becoming, and how is the church going to address those needs. Now, the reality is, you see churches closing their doors all over the place, and things are happening continually, and you think, like, why is that taking place? And they've either failed to become relevant to the culture or failed to be able to really continue to grow and develop. And so it's our intent that we will continue to help people realize the relevancy of the gospel to their lives and also continue to grow in reaching people with that gospel. And so it was really good to hear that. But, you know, there are so many things. We're all being affected by these changes that are happening. And because of technology, they're happening more rapidly than ever before. I mean, who thought our malls would be closing and so many stores would be closing? But we're all seeing that, and it's happening all the time. One of the speakers talked about the fact that, you know, the taxis that are particularly in the cities and all those available, they're actually having difficulty in starting to close because Uber doesn't own any vehicles, but Uber makes transportation possible on a regular basis in all communities. And so that is rising up to change that. We see the same thing in like Blockbuster. Some of you are old enough to remember going into a video store and purchasing a video, but Blockbuster went bankrupt because things like Netflix and Hulu and whatever have started to take over, and they don't own any videos, but they've taken. So there's a cultural shift that's happening. We see hotels that at one point were all your option as far as you travel, but now, and they had all this real estate that they owned. Now, Airbnb doesn't own anything but is coming up because that's actually where we stayed when we went. We rented an Airbnb, just a house that we could all meet together. It ended up being cheaper than the hotels. And plus, we had our living room and everything where we could sit and talk through everything. So our culture is changing. And you'll hear some of the things as we continue to move forward as a church, how God began to speak to our hearts as leaders and how we were seeing what God wants to do for our future as well. Thanks for your prayers. It was really a blessing, and we believe God's going to do some good things as a result. So let's talk about this. 'Tis the season to be loving. We love each other because I think you know it, but let me try it again. We love each other because, yes, you didn't possess the ability to love first. Only God did. And so let's offer this to him as we hear his voice. Father, speak to us this morning. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this, there's so much for us to be aware of because we have to understand that love first originated with God. It doesn't originate with us, which means we should be known for God's love in us. So many times in our world, we're known as Christians for what we're against rather than for what we're for. And we need to make sure that the message of Christ is going out strong and people recognize us as those who really love and know how to love. Well, it starts because God is love. Now, when it says that in Scripture and we look at that, we understand that we could just take that is and make an equal sign because God equals love. Love equals God. That's exactly what it is. So we understand how much God loves us by seeing that, because Scripture says, because God is love. That is the message that needs to be a part of each of our lives. Now, love then comes from God. And so as we're understanding how he works and what he wants to do in each of our lives, we understand that if I'm going to love, it comes because God is in me. And so he wants us to be able to see that. So for love comes from God. Simple, very simple, and yet very complicated as we try to live it out in our worlds. We are often caught up by other things that are happening in our worlds and not so focused on what needs to be seen in me and through me. You see, God's love is evidenced in his sacrifice. He didn't kind of leave us out there without a model or an example of it. It was very clear. He gave us a great example of how we can be able to love because he said, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son that we will not perish but have eternal life. So he demonstrated his love for us by action, by doing something that showed that. And so we need to make sure action is a part of our lives. How are you demonstrating the love of Christ through you? God's love for us is unconditional. Now, we live in a very performance-based world, right? We like people because they perform well. We like and we want to be close to people who perform. And if they don't, we tend to withdraw our love. We tend to withdraw our feelings because they don't measure up. They don't perform in the way we think they should. And unfortunately, some parents will do that same thing. They only love their kids if they do what they want them to do. When they don't do what they want them to do, then they tend to withdraw and pull back. I challenge you as parents, we need to love unconditionally. We need to make sure that it's not performance-based on how we love, but we love whether they perform the way we want them to or not. And so we see that as Scripture says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Like, you didn't have to perform for God to love you. He loved you just like you were. He loved you as a sinner. You didn't have to fix yourself up and look better or smell better or act better for God to love you. He loved you just the way you are. And so that importance of understanding that becomes such an important message for each of us to be able to understand as we see. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us, St. Augustine says. So when we talk about love, what does it look like and how do we see that? Let me share this with you. A group of 4 to 8-year-olds were asked, what does love mean? Here are some of their answers, obviously from a child's perspective. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time. Even when his hands got arthritis too, that's love. Yeah, that's good. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. I'm still working on that one. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. During my piano recital, I was on stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me and saw my daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Brad Pitt. I know my oldest sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. You really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. The fact is that these are all great definitions, and there's some real wisdom found here from the mouths of babes. Now, John, in his first epistle, has a definition as well. Love is doing what Jesus did. He writes, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Witness the way Jesus loved, touching an unclean leper, talking to an outcast Samaritan woman, going to Matthew, the tax collector's party, praying for his disciples in the upper room, knowing full well that they would soon forsake him, taking up a hideous cross, dragging it through the streets of Golgotha, accepting freely the nails through his wrist, praying earnestly for his enemies as they gambled away his clothing. That is quite a model. Do we possess the Jesus style of loving? Mother Teresa had a unique phrase to describe this Christ-like love. She once wrote, we must grow in love, and to do this, we must go on loving and loving and giving until it hurts. The way Jesus did. Do ordinary things with extraordinary love. Little things like caring for the sick and the homeless, the lonely and the unwanted, washing and cleaning for them. You must give what will cost you something. Then your gift becomes a sacrifice, which will have value before God. Any sacrifice is useful if it is done out of love. This giving until it hurts, this sacrifice is also what we call love in action. Now, there are several things that would be important. So love, if love is the trademark of us as followers of Jesus, then we have to think about what that means and what that looks like. So people should know us. As a result, the first evidence of Jesus in us is how we love. So, like, that should be seen. That should be very clear. It's the first evidence. And so what people should say is, you know, those people really know how to love people. They really show it. And so that needs to be a part of how people would see us as Christians. They should see something different about us. And it should not be external, it's internal. It's what God's love does inside of us as it's evidenced outside of us. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if, by this, Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We can't go on complaining about one another, angry at one another, not talking to one another, not treating each other with that kindness and love, and think that the love of God is in us. It's so clear. John and 1 John could not get any more clear in helping us to see the kind of difference that needs to happen in our lives. That means that we learn how to love one another even if we don't agree with one another. It means that we learn how to share and care for one another even if we are different from one another. And that's the message of Christ. That's the message of the gospel. And so we need to make sure that that is so evidenced in each of our lives and through our lives as a result. In fact, it is commanded by Jesus. Commanded by Jesus. That's such an important thing for you to remember. Now, we understand, he said, this is his command. It's not an option. He didn't say, hey guys, I think it'd be really great if you all got along and you all just kind of loved each other. Wouldn't that be great? He doesn't say it that way. He said, this is a command to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. So if you don't obey a command, that's called disobedience. Disobedience is called sin. So if you aren't loving, you're sinning. It couldn't get any clearer than that. 1 John is so clear in helping us to understand that if you're going to really make sure the love of Christ is in you and through you, and if it isn't, you're living in sin. And so what an important message for each of us to hear. Now, when we do not love other believers, we are failing to show our relationship with God. So you're not given a choice. This isn't an option. You can't say, I'll take D, none of the above. No, this is it, A. That's the answer. There's no other answer. And so what we have to know, if you're not showing the love of Christ to those people in your world, then you need to check to see what your relationship with God is, because it should be. So now we are all children of God, and now we can tell who are children of God. So this is how the evidence. He said, we can see. Here's real easy for you to see. Children of God, or are they children of the devil? Now, I mean, John couldn't get any more specific or clear in this. Anyone who does not live righteously, does not love other believers, does not belong to God. Right? Pretty serious as he speaks. And so loving people is not an option. You don't have an option in this whole thing. It's got to be your trademark. It's got to be how people know who you are. It's got to be how they know how you treat other people, how you respond to things in your life. It's simple. If we've had a spiritual birth, then we love others. So if we're critical, if we're impatient and angry, and I'm not saying that those things don't happen, but when they do, you better make sure that the apology comes as a result of how you've acted or treated someone. You better make sure, and I always say this, your apology should be as loud as your offense. You know, rather crudely, if you burp loud, you should say, excuse me, loud. But it should be that way. Whatever your offense is, you better make sure it covers all the people that you've offended by whatever your offense has been. And not saying that we don't have those, not saying they don't happen, but I'm saying our intent is I'm going to get better at this all the time. And God's love is helping me to be what I need to be, and so people can see Jesus in me. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So your trademark, how do you love other people? Whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if I have God in me, then I have love in me. So what's the problem, then how it happens? Because I've got to see how it's demonstrated and what takes place. Now, love is produced in us when we remain connected to Jesus. So it's produced inside of me. It's in me if I have God in me. So when you're born again and you invite Jesus into your heart and he comes and lives in you, now you have capability of loving everyone. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to be connected. So why do we not see that in everybody? And why are we like kind of almost amazed when we see people really love? Like, why do we go, wow, that was really something. Did you see that? It should be natural. It should be expected. But somehow we're almost surprised by it. Why? Because we shouldn't be. It should be so evident. But here's the problem. When he says this in Scripture, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus said, I did it for you. So now you know how. Now remain in my love. So that means I have to have a good connection. I've traveled in different countries, and when I've traveled, oftentimes they use different electricity, and so the outlets are different than what we have here. And so when I go there, sometimes I plug in the adapter or whatever it is, and I look at my cell phone, and it's not charging because my connection isn't right. Now, if my connection is right, it's a natural thing. That it flows right through it, and it charges, and I'm good. What happens for us when we aren't remaining in him is our connection gets bad. We get distracted by other things. We start focusing on our own needs rather than on what's around me. I start finding sin can build that barrier and can create that problem for that connection. And pretty soon, sin separates me from God and from the love of God flowing through me. And so we have to be so conscious and aware of that. Now, honestly, we all have blind spots, right? We all have blind spots that we don't see some things in us. I'm so grateful for my new vehicle. It has these yellow triangles in both of the mirrors on either side. And so I don't know how it is that we could have this like 2-ton vehicle that could come alongside of us and not see it and then pull into their pathway, but we do. Because we have blind spots. I mean, these giant, heavy vehicles, somehow we're blinded and don't see them. But now that I have these little yellow triangles, anytime anybody is in my blind spot, the yellow triangle goes bing and stays on until they move out of mine. And so I'm like, yeah, this is so good. Because I not only do I look, but I look at that yellow triangle, and I go, up, I gotta wait. And then that passed. Now, we all have personal blind spots also. And how is it that some mammoth thing in our lives, other people see it, they see your blind spots, but we don't. And so we think, how do I not see this in my life? Or you think about them, because I think, how did they not see that? That was really stupid. I can't believe they would do that. How did they not see it? Because they have blind spots, because they're not aware of those. But let me tell you, God's remedied that. He's given you little yellow triangles called the Holy Spirit. And he's going to flash those on when you have a blind spot. And if you're sensitive and you remain connected to him, you're going to go, I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't a good idea. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. That shouldn't have come out. Or we're going to find ourselves saying, you know, I need to treat them differently. I need to respond differently to this. And so you're going to see those things come because the Holy Spirit's going to remind you, and you're going to get those little blind spot reminders. They're going to come up because, you see, God's got more invested in this than you do, and he wants to make sure the love of Christ is shining through you. So love is given to by us as we realize it's not an option and not a feeling, but a command. It's not a feeling. Now, if it were a feeling, you couldn't command it. Right? Because have you ever, like as a parent, told your kids, be happy? And they go, they're not really happy, but they're trying to act like they are. But it's because that you can't command feelings. You can't command feelings to make somebody say, do this or don't feel this way or feel that way. You can't command feelings. They're beyond that. But you can command actions. And so what God is talking about here in his command is not a feeling. This is my commandment. You don't necessarily feel warm and friendly toward everybody. Some people you don't like. I mean, come on, let's admit it. There are people in our world that we don't really like, right? I mean, some of you are like way past. I mean, could you just nod your head, yes or no, like to say that that's true? Okay, yeah, thank you. I see most of you going, yeah, I have those. Okay, so, because I do, and I know that there are people that are just not likable. They're just kind of hard to get along with. And so, now, does that give me an excuse because they're not likable for me not to love them? No, not at all. Not at all, because I'm commanded to love them. And so that means my action needs to make sure it's showing that. So love is to be shared in the same way that you love yourself. So this is kind of simple. Jesus made it all real simple for us to understand. It's just a matter of our putting it into practice. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Like pretty much nothing is left, right? This second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So, you know, he took the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament and like hundreds of laws and reduced them into two commandments in the New, which encompasses all of those. Because love God, love others. That's as simple as it gets, but all of the other commands are encompassed in that as we understand, because that's what God is calling us to. So love is to be given to those we love and to those we don't love. In fact, we're called to love unconditionally. So that means not based on anybody's performance, not based on if they're nice to me, then I'll love them back. That's the love of the world. The world loves people that love them back. And so our natural response is to be like the world, but the supernatural response of God in us is not like the world. We love supernaturally, not naturally. So you have heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. So you want to really be like Jesus? Then you need to love people who aren't lovable. Love people who you wouldn't ordinarily even like. But you show that in your actions. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you only love only those who love you, what reward is that? A reward for that? So just loving people that are lovely isn't enough. That's not going to show that God's in you. He said even corrupt tax collectors was the worst of the worst, and that's why he gave the illustration. They do that much. They like people who like them. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. So that's not enough. What God is calling us is to a higher level of love. A higher standard that goes beyond. So love will force us to do more. It's going to force us to do more. Really love those in your world. Really love those in your world. I think it's so important that you would love people who are not like you. You've heard me say this before. Smile, greet people, especially someone who is not like you. I have to say, very honestly, part of thing, when I get into a flight and I see a Muslim person coming on the flight, something happens inside of me and I think, oh, we're all going down. And I particularly smile at them and express kindness in what I can. Why? Because they're unlike me. I don't know what's in their thoughts. I don't know what's going on. But I know that I need to be the love of Christ to everyone in my world. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that's evidenced and seen. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong, okay? Hold tightly onto what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. And so I need to make sure I'm doing my very best. Do more than talk when it comes to love. And do more than talk about it. I mean, we all have the language down. We all know what it is. But how do we demonstrate it? You have to do more than talk. Dear children, let us not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Now, you're probably going to be challenged to do this like throughout the week. And I hope that you're praying, Lord, show me how to love like you love. this week. I hope that's particularly your assignment and you're going to be thinking about that, because it's so easy for us to get distracted by other things. I mean, even driving out of the parking lot, sometimes people are irritated. Now, come on, it should be easy to love when you just heard the message, right? So you should be able to do that out of the parking lot or waiting in line tonight. So we should be able to get that down. What surprises me is how Christians can not act like Christians. I'm always like, wow, like, really? As a Christian, you would have thought something, that kind of little yellow triangle would have come alive in their thoughts, and they'd realize that's not something how you're supposed to act. You're not supposed to do that. But, you know, like, there are challenges for all of us, and all of us kind of work through these things. Now, seems like when people get behind the steering wheel, they become this different person. And I know I'm somewhat guilty of this. I'm definitely not an aggressive driver. Those people get arrested. But I would say I'm an assertive driver. So I can kind of get in there. But, you know, I have, like, my pet peeves also. You're like, one of those is, like, when you're waiting in a ramp line to go out, and people, the signs have been all there. Everybody saw them. And I'm waiting in this long line, and somebody goes, "Wong," like this, and jumps in. I have a problem with that. And I can't exactly say I'm loving at that moment. I do tend to mutter. Sharon would probably confirm this in our car. I mutter a lot at those drivers, and am a little frustrated with the whole thing, because I think, I waited in line. You can wait in line too. But they don't. And so that muttering starts to happen. And I've even done this, I will confess. You know, when you're in two lanes and you're going to have to merge into one, and you already follow the lines and everybody's going up like this, like, I can even pull over so they can't get around me. Yeah, I did that. So back to life. How do we love other people, and how do we make sure that we're not being so irritated by the things of this world that it's becoming a barrier to us in loving our world? And how do we make sure that whatever is a part of our life, that we're living out the love of Christ so it can be seen? Well, love is demonstrating these qualities to those in your world. It's helping people in your world see something's different about them. Be always humble, gentle, patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve this unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds you together. So showing that. So love is always reminding us to love our neighbor or those we come in contact as we travel through our days. Sometimes I just have to talk myself through those things, you know, to make sure that I'm going to, it doesn't really matter, I'm okay with this. And I can kind of let myself make sure the love of Christ can be seen in me and work through me. Owe nothing to anyone, that's a great thing, except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you'll fulfill the requirements of God's law. Couldn't be any more clear. God's all through it, he's telling. So 'tis the season to be loving. So what will you do this week to demonstrate that? Who will you love this week? Make sure you put this someplace where it can be seen, someplace where it'll be a reminder. You'll be praying to say, God, who do you want me to love? How should I demonstrate this? Is it just in simple ways? I know, get irritated because people don't return their carts to the cart rack. Do you just need to just grab somebody's cart and return it for them? I mean, we need to work through these things so we can be able to handle life like Jesus would and be seen like that. Be on your guard for tangible ways to love someone in your world. Physical things, something tangible that's going to say, okay, and maybe go beyond what you naturally would do. Do it supernaturally. Let the Holy Spirit work through your life. Pray that God will give you that person and open the doors to love someone to life. You heard the expression, oh, I just loved them to death. Now, why would you kill a person? I mean, how about love them to life? I like that a whole lot better. The fact is, we love them to eternal life. Because if they see Jesus in me, they want to know, what is it that you have that I don't have? What's in you that you can do this and I can't? How do you do that? Well, we need to love them to life, those in our world, and then share with us how God gave you that opportunity. Would you take your little card out of your bulletin there if you'll hold it for me? And if God is telling you, yep, I'm willing to do that this week, would you just hold your sign up and just say, yep, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to pray for you all in closing as you're holding it up. Just keep it up. And let me pray for you as we are praying that God will use us and love somebody to life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Nothing that we had to do made you love us more or even less, but you loved us. Lord, we want that kind of love for people in our world. We want to show them that, but we know that that doesn't come naturally, it comes supernaturally by you in us. So this week, help us to love someone to life, that they would see Jesus in us, and we would demonstrate that to a world around us. In Christ's name, amen.